When it comes to art, it is solely that of the beholder. Whether something is quality or trash or whatever it lies upon that scale is ultimately down to how we as individuals perceive it, applying to both the creator and its audience. The important thing to keep in mind, though, is that this happens in the mind. In other words, that this is a consequence of brain chemistry when it comes right down to it. The way that the work affects us is how we ultimately perceive the final result. Now, this all may seem very obvious, but what I'm trying to get across with this is that there is a misunderstanding, I think, about diagnosing where problems lie in both a work, a creator, or even the audience that's observing it. What I like to do is I like to imagine it as kind of like a video game bar, but rather than measuring something like health or stamina or magic, it's measuring enjoyment. Enjoyment being a very broad category which consists of anything that makes you feel positive towards the work. It may not necessarily make you happy, but it could leave you intellectually stimulated or inspired, something like that, to consider things in a different way. Or it could have the reverse effect and take away from your bar, even going into the negatives. So when we think of it in those terms, if we approach this as a bar that needs to be filled, we think about all of the different things that help fill that bar, such as a quality story, or being well performed, whether by actors or in singing, or whatever else that might be, the quality of the craftsmanship, could be the quality of the atmosphere, or the sets, if we're talking about something that's performed, or the art style, if it's a painting, or some kind of an animation. Any and all of these things can contribute to the overall sense of pleasure that is measured on our happiness bar, our enjoyment bar. Now, the thing about it, though, is that the bar is not affected solely by those specific aspects. And that's where we're running into problems, because the brain isn't just affected when one observes art in any form by the art in and of itself in a vacuum. It brings in everything else that makes us us. For example, nostalgia. Nostalgia depends upon pre-existing feelings related to the art in some way, or a related art, some kind of a connection to that. The positive feeling that nostalgia includes then affects our enjoyment bar, even if it is not related in any way to the positive quality of the art in question. So when you have a piece that reminds you intentionally of some other previous work that you were happy with, it's taking advantage, and that's not meant as a pejorative, but rather it's employing that aspect, that nostalgia. This also applies to the fact that human beings like the idea that we know things, and reinforcing that we are clever. So consequently, referencing something that we are aware of from outside of the work itself will often make us feel good. Making a reference, for example, to another work. That's why in many cases, references to obscure works leave us particularly giddy, because we know that we are part of a small group that is understanding what that means. That creates a positive sensation in the brain and consequently contributes to our enjoyment. Again, even if it is not measuring the quality of the work in any way. Now, this doesn't just apply to the audience. This also applies to the creators, too. This is why, in cases, you wind up with situations where the creator and the audience are at odds, because what is filling the bar for the creator isn't necessarily filling it for the audience. For example, a creator gets a pet character that they insist upon making the show around for a time. The audience isn't that interested in that character, and the story is not being told in such a way that invests them in that character if they weren't previously. It is built on the presumption that you already were intrigued by the character. And so as a result, the creator is having their enjoyment bar filled by the fact that a character that they personally are interested in is being shown all of this prominence and having all of these things happen to them. Whereas the audience, which does not have that investment, has a negative response to that. Because not only is it failing to instill that in them, but it is in fact interfering in their ability to enjoy the work. The same kind of thing applies to storylines. A storyline might be something that fascinates the creator, but bores the audience. And the more that the creator is satisfied by it, the less the audience is enjoying it, because the creator will subconsciously put greater emphasis upon it because they gain more enjoyment from that. So the thing to recognize with this is everything we're talking about here leads to a sort of creator-audience barrier that has to be kept in mind, because while the audience are passive for the most part, video games of course get into an iffy area, but for the most part the audience is passive in that they cannot control the art in virtually all cases, the creator does. And so because there is this difference in power between the two sides, the creator, the more that they are self-indulgent, in whatever capacity that is, the less enjoyment the audience has, because they know that not only is this element or aspect of it not what they're here for, but that the creator is disinterested in the fact that they feel that way. So what can wind up happening, especially in cases of a work that has gone on for some time, is that the leadership of the creative side can wind up changing, or it has told the stories that it has wanted to and is moving into a new area, perhaps. Or it's entirely possible that some negative human aspect has come in there, like arrogance due to positive feedback, convincing them that any idea they have is good, and wanting to therefore push the envelope in ways that common sense would say they probably shouldn't. One case where it especially comes up within the last 15 years or so is the area of politics and society. I don't want you to think that this all has been a build-up to this. However, it's such a significant part of it that I would be remiss if I didn't discuss it. But the purpose of this is rather to help us to understand exactly what is going on in order to be, I think, better aware, or at the very least, to create a discussion upon this idea. Let's take, for example, Chris Chibnall, if that's how you pronounce his name. I'm not entirely sure and don't care enough to look it up. His run on Doctor Who has not been well received by people. Now, I can only say that I watched the first series of Jodie Whittaker with him, and I didn't watch the next two precisely because I was so unimpressed by the first one. There was one episode of it that I really liked, and he had nothing to do with it. That pretty much told me everything I needed to know about his approach. Now, Chris Chibnall makes no apology for the fact that he includes his views on issues. You could call it social justice, you can call it wokeness, you can call it whatever you want. The point is, though, is that he feels the need to use his place as the creator to include things that are important to him. And that, of course, is his right as the creator on that. I am not saying that he shouldn't. However, now is an important time to recall everything we've talked about with our enjoyment bar. Because remember, things that are not related to the quality of the art will influence one's enjoyment of it. And that includes the creator as well. And alongside things like nostalgia, or things like playing into knowledge that we already possess, one thing that makes us feel good is a reinforcement of things that we already believe. And naturally, that applies to the idea of social justice, wokeness, or whatever you want to call it. As a consequence, the enjoyment bar can be affected by this aspect, even though it has no bearing whatsoever upon the quality of the art itself. The quality of the art is separate from that. That is merely something else that is layered upon it, which can affect it one way or another depending upon one's views. I'm not saying that his views are wrong. I'm not saying his views are right. Only that they are his views, which affects his enjoyment meter, his sense that this is good. The problem is that if you are doing that, you are artificially inflating your enjoyment bar by not increasing it through quality, but rather through this sense of positive experience. Now, if one considers the final season of Peter Capaldi, which was praised as his best by many people, and I happen to be one of them, one can see many aspects of what is considered social justice, wokeness, whatever you want to call it, starting with the fact that the Doctor's new companion for that season was a person of color and a lesbian. And yet the remarks of social justice, wokeness, whatever you want to call it, thrown at Chris Chibnall didn't seem to affect Peter Capaldi's final season, because the enjoyment bar is being filled based upon the quality of the material, the quality of the art, and the other aspects to it are a layer over that. If you are opposed to those things, yes, you can negatively do it, but if you are approving of it, or at the very least indifferent to it, then you still enjoyed that season. However, when you get to Chris Chibnall's period, when the stories lack this element of quality to them, then you wind up with those who may be in agreement might have that same sense that Chris Chibnall does and agree with him. This meets my level of enjoyment and thus makes it good. Or you may not, for a variety of reasons related to that, including you might very well be in agreement with him on these things and even feel good about the aspects of them, but it is not sufficient for you to say this was quality, but rather to say, I applaud what you are trying to do, but you're not doing it very well. This applies to many different things. I'm only singling out Doctor Who because I think that you can have a very strong contrast between Peter Capaldi's last season and Jodie Whittaker's first season. They're back-to-back ones. And yet, the criticism thrown at Jodie Whittaker's is not thrown at Peter Capaldi's. And one is well-received and the other was panned. So it serves as a good illustration of this. Now, yes, you could throw in all kinds of other factors if you want to. That goes beyond the scope of what I'm discussing. But I think it is demonstrative of the fact that if you consider this idea that other things affect our enjoyment of the work, And if we don't have those extra things in us, that it does not sufficiently reach that level of enjoyment for the audience, that we have to then consider the possibility that the work needs to be refined in order to achieve that. In other words, your work, whether it depends upon things like Chris Chibnall, social justice, wokeness, all of that, or nostalgia, or a certain plot line, or some kind of reference to outside things, or anything else that reinforces that positive experience in the brain that is unrelated to the quality of the art, has to be put aside and the work assessed in that absence without that consideration to see if it is already rising to that level. Because what separates the works are those that create quality first and then add that on as well. Once you can achieve that without it, then you are going to achieve it all the more with it. Because even those who aren't along for the ride with you for whatever extra aspects you have put on there are still going to take pleasure from the art because you have delivered an enjoyable experience. Now, this is not to say that the audience is always right either. It doesn't mean that. Rather, what it means is that we need to understand what the audience is there for, by which I mean, why did they come to this? Why are they interested in this? And are you delivering them a quality work? If you are giving a quality artwork to them and they still don't enjoy it, well, that's just the way it is sometimes. Some people just don't have the same tastes to work. But if they come in and they don't share your same perspectives on things as a creator, whether it be nostalgia or referencing experiences or anything else, if they come in without that and they consequently do not get enjoyment out of it, then that is on you, because it was your job to create the best possible art you could. If this is the best you can do, then that's not very impressive, is it? So I guess what my goal is in this essay is to raise awareness of the idea that these are aspects that are independent of whether or not something is good art. It's one thing to be able to give someone a positive experience. But if you can give more people a positive experience, and those who already were positive an even higher one, well, then you've really achieved what you as an artist should be doing. If not, though, if you're solely capable of reaching people who are like yourself, well, that's fine. But you have to accept then that you are creating something solely to reach people who are like you and no one else, and will carry with that all of the consequences of that. Maybe that's fine with you. Maybe you, in fact, prefer the idea that your work is on the margins, that it's not mainstream. It's not the kind of thing that would ever be mainstream. Or you may have the view that you want your ideas to be the mainstream or feel they are mainstream. Well, in that case, then it is all the more important that you be able to fill the enjoyment bar without that. Because if you are producing a work which does not have quality in and of itself, but rather depends upon those aspects, then what you are doing is you are alienating those who are outside of it because you are not giving them the same experience. They will, in fact, associate your what you are trying to advance in your art with the very things that are detriment to it. And to prove that this is not specifically about social justice, wokeness, or whatever, Let's say that you feel really positive about disco music. And let's say that you create a work that utilizes disco music throughout, because you really like disco music. But the artwork that you create isn't of quality. You are achieving enjoyment because it's got disco music in it. But the work itself isn't very good. So those who do not have that same sense of enjoyment about disco are going to feel the opposite of what you want them to feel. Not only will they not enjoy the work, but they will likely assume that the disco is to blame for it. Because after all, it's something that you have so emphasized in your mediocre product. Instead, if you create art that is great, regardless of whether or not it's got disco in it, just an incredible quality work, and then add the disco on top of it, then you are associating your own positive creation with the thing that you are hoping to promote. And so consequently, you will have a positive reaction in people towards something to interest them in what they might not have been interested in the first place, simply because you created what was great regardless of the music. And this applies to everything. So while creating art, if you are interested in pursuing it, I strongly advise that if you want to tap into any of these other things, that you sit down at every stage and ask yourself, is this good in and of itself? Because if it's not, you can't use nostalgia or anything else like that as a crutch, because it will be seen and will be called out. So unless that you are willing to solely cater to people who are in your own specific niche, then you are going to have to realize that your positive feelings don't translate into audience positive feelings. You have to be able to create something that the audience will come away from saying, that felt great. And then add the extras on top.